Please be seated. Each Sunday, we hear these four pieces of Bible reading, and sometimes they flow together in one thing. Sometimes they're coming from different parts of the story, and you wonder how they fit together. Today, I hear the theme in those readings of vocation. Of what we do in our life, not just our job that gets us money, but sort of who we are called to be as people in the world. If you think of what our full capacity as humans is, what when we live into that capacity and feel that we are full and connected and doing just what we need to do. I suspect you've had moments like that where you feel like, this is what I need to be about and what I need to be doing. And I also mean vocation in the sense that we have different vocations. And we see that in our gospel reading, these different people doing different things, and it's somehow coming together in a common thing. We see that in a church or other communities where we're called in different ways, we have different capacities and gifts, and yet they come together in a common thing and a common way. I think the gospel reading is an interesting example of that. So we have John the Baptist, who very clearly has a sense of his vocation. He has a very clear sense of what he is called to do, who he is called to be. He even says, the one who sent me to go baptizing. And we don't know exactly what he's referring to. We know that he was out in the wilderness and he was calling people back to God and baptizing them and doing that work. And so there must have been some moment where he had an awakening, he had a vision, he had a sense of God's call, and he realized, I need to be doing this stuff. I need to be calling people to repentance, to turn their life in a new way. And we wondered, a few of us gather Monday mornings and we look at the readings coming ahead. And we were wondering there if he had had a similar moment to what we read of Mary, where the angel came and said, this is how it will be for you. And Mary said, okay. We wondered, maybe John the Baptist had a similar moment when he was maybe at his home, or maybe he was already out in the wilderness and sort of discerning what God was calling him to be. We sometimes do that when we're trying to figure out who we are. We often go to the bush. We often go to some desolate place to, like, what am I supposed to be about? And we go out there and we sort these things out. And so John had a clear sense of vocation, and he knew that he was called to baptize, and he knew he was to point to Jesus. He had a very clear sense, I am not the Messiah. I am not the anointed one that was foretold by the prophets. I'm not the one that people have been waiting for who will help us see God. I'm just the one to point the finger. And so when Jesus walks by, that's exactly what he does. Twice in our reading, this is the one. This is the Lamb of God. This is the one that we have been waiting for. And Jesus has his own sense of vocation within that. They call him Rabbi, and I understand that being a rabbi, being a teacher, was kind of like a vocation, but we know that he had a deeper sense of that. He has just been baptized by John, and when he was being baptized, as he was coming up out of the water, as John says, it was like the sky opened up, and the Spirit, however this was, took the form of a dove and landed on him, and the voice from heaven said, you are my beloved, with whom I am well pleased, you are my son. And I wonder if that for Jesus was a moment of coming to know that his vocation was much deeper than just maybe being a teacher, but this was about living into the fullness of God and helping people see God in a way that we could not before. We had heard the words, we had read the prophecies, but here was God embodied. Here was God among us, not separate from us, but living our life, being born in poverty. and walking with us, and someone we could touch and know. And it's why we go back to him over and over. Here is the one where we see God present with us, that we can learn from and grow into. And so he is just beginning his walk in this way, and we know that his way will lead into teaching and challenging the authorities and calling people to a deeper vision of God, helping people see God through healings and work, eventually to offer himself in suffering and death. And as we talked about with the kids, we celebrate every Sunday that his death did not end him, but God's power raised him to new life and speaks to us this word that God's love is stronger than death. And so we are just beginning to see his vocation taking shape in this way. And then we have Andrew and the other disciple that we don't know. Some people think it was John, the author of the gospel. And they are hanging out with John the Baptist and kind of following with him. And they respond when Jesus is there. And we might think, well, what is their vocation? They don't seem to be playing a particular role in any sort of way. They're not pointing like John is or helping us see God in some way, but they have the gift of receiving. They have the vocation of longing for something to take shape. They have the vocation that God has given them of having some deep space within them ready and waiting so that when they saw what was there, when they heard the word, "This is the Lamb of God," when they saw Jesus, they could recognize him. And many, we learn, would pass by Jesus and think of him as nothing. But here were two where they had been waiting and longing and somehow had let themselves be open to the word of God coming within them and among them. I think that's something we can resonate with more than we can resonate with John the Baptist or with Jesus himself. We know there are times where we hear some piece of news and we long for the world to come to wholeness. And I think we would know it if we saw it. If we ever heard Israel and Palestine sitting down to a chilly dinner like we're going to have at the storytelling night and singing music together, you know, if that ever occurred, there would be some empty space within us that would just leap out and sing for joy, you know? If we ever saw the leaders of the nations, instead of coming out with bravado and you know, it's all these other people's fault, and one of them said, you know, we messed up, we made a mistake, and we need to repent as a nation for what we have done, and we need to turn over a new leaf, and here's how we're going to do that. And we actually saw humility on the thrones of power rather than machismo. You know, I think there would be parts of us that would think, okay, here's something I've been waiting for. I'm listening to the debates, and there's a voice missing, and there's that emptiness that is waiting to be filled. As a pastor, sometimes I get to have people share with me a longing that they have been thinking about. I think of June Gregg, who saw on the news, I've mentioned this before, but I'm still thinking about it, saw on the news that there are a lot of kids in our schools who are hungry, and so she came to me and said, I saw this in the news, and you know, is there anything we can do to help with our local school? And thankfully, I was able to say, well, there's a program that is happening there. There's a breakfast club, and I do toast on Thursdays, and we do that. Would you like to come along? And she's been coming along every morning since, and it is such a gift to have someone else there. And I want to say a grandma, because, you know, I'm there, and I'm a dad, and they kind of look at me and ignore me, but June can have conversations with those kids that I could never get into. And so there is this longing that that was there, and she acted and lived into that. And I think we might know that in ourselves at different times. So Andrew and this other disciple, they were longing and hoping, and that was their vocation, to hold on to that and to be ready for when this person came to them, they would know what to do. And so we see the whole thing kind of working together. This whole image of the different vocations that they have coming together at the beginning of this story of Jesus, at the beginning of this moment for Andrew and the other disciple, kind of at the end of a moment for John the Baptist, but there it is before us. We think in the church a lot that we celebrate the diversity of our gifts. Sometimes we do that better or worse. Organizations tend to do that in a better or worse way, where we can truly celebrate the diversity that is between us. And the reason we struggle with that is it creates tension. It means that some people are saying, you know, we need to move forward faster, and other people are saying, you know, but how does that affect the people who are in this way? And others are saying, you know, well, how does this fit with the scriptures? And others are saying, you know, but I'm really thinking about the color of the paint on the building and how we, you know, and we've got these different focuses, and we do our best when we let them all live together. And we have space within a community, within an organization, to say we need all of these things. As long as they are all heading in a positive direction, as long as they are all driving us back to living a life full of love in the pattern of Jesus, as long as they are all bringing us back to living into our full capacities as humans, then we need to live in that tension and let those things take place. There are a number of places that says, you know, God brings into a community the gifts for what God wants to do. And so the makeup of the gifts at St. Augustine says something about what God is doing among us and bringing to birth with us. But at the center of all of this, the question that kind of breaks us apart and opens us up is the question that Jesus asks, which is very simply, what are you looking for? And I don't know if the disciples were ready for that question. I don't know if we're often ready for that question, because we often want someone else to tell us what we need to do and what we need to be about. And Jesus turns it back to us and says, what are you looking for? And I think by that he means, this is not a situation where God just will tell you what to do, a lightning bolt comes out of nowhere and says, here's your vocation. Here is the thing that I'm calling you to do, and like a soldier, you're to go and do it without thinking and without being. By turning it back on us, Jesus says, this is a relationship. And this is about your full capacity as a human. This is about the deepest desires of your hearts coming to their fullness. And you and I, it is as if Jesus says, you and I will work together to figure out what shape that will take. And there's one psalm that says, you know, that God fulfills the desires of our hearts. And I don't think that means kind of surface things. The new car, the extra $10,000 that we all think we need, you know, these kind of surface wants that we think. I think it goes down to the deepest wants of our being and our hopes, whether it is it a sense of value in the world, whether it is a sense of what we actually add to the world. Some of us, that is a great revelation, that we actually add something to the world that would not be there if we were not there. That comes down to the deepest sense that we wonder if we are loved, we wonder if we have worth, and these words that Jesus speaks, saying, what are you looking for? I want to know that I'm loved. I want to know that I have value in the world. And he says, and we can work with that. I can't work with the new car and the, you know, you need to kind of let that go. But I can work with, you know, your hopes and your longing and that space opened up. And if you will share that with me, say it's okay. It's good. And because I think part of what we want to say is we need to come to this like children, you know, with, you know, not like with all our thinking things, but just like, I'm looking for this. And I love the disciples' response, where are you staying? I don't know what's in that. It's a weird response, but it's a childlike, straight up, I don't know, where are you living? Maybe I can go and do something there. And so we hear Jesus putting it back on us. What are you looking for? The desires of your hearts, where your heartstrings resonate. And God saying, and that is where I am too. That is where we can work together and do some good in this world, and where we can help people see the fullness of God. That is not about condemnation, but about love. That is about raising this whole thing into a new way of being, bringing the whole thing into resurrection. And we are sent out with those words. Take some reflection. Maybe take some wilderness to go out somewhere and ask those questions. It often takes a community to surround us and reflect back to us what we need to know. But the answers are there and the questions are there if we stay with them, if we walk along with it. Thanks be to God.